T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good enough to join us right now is Dan Rusinowski, the play-by-play voice of the San Jose Sharks on our sister station, KFOX 98.5. The Sharks wrapped up postseason play against the Golden Knights in Las Vegas last night, of all places. And yeah, there's a preseason all wrapped up. Good to see that for the puck to drop before we really talk about that. Dan, I'm glad you guys made it out before chaos ensued to take over the strip. Would you tell us a little bit about your timeline, how it avoided this now largest mass shooting in America on record?
What a strange feeling we've got inside the Sharks locker room, Damon, just simply because I think the schedule maker is the one we have to thank first. They scheduled this game to be a 5 o'clock start, normally 7:30 in Vegas. That would have put us leaving the rink right about at the time that all of this started. And by the way, T-Mobile Arena is pretty darn close to where all of this stuff was going on. So more than just a sobering look at the mirror after that, we were at home and landed by the time everything really got going. And, you know, it's not the first time that we've been through this over the course of Sharks history. I remember a day that the playoffs were about to start in Colorado, and all of the reporters were there. And, of course, that was the time when the Internet really wasn't that big. There was no real social media. There were a lot of websites out there. And just to show you how long ago this was, all of the TV cameramen that were there to take a video of practice before game one of the series against the Avalanche had all their pagers start going off, and every single one of them. And of course, wouldn't you know it, we were in Littleton, Colorado at practice, and just down the street from us, not very far really, but 15 minutes, was Columbine High School. And that happened while we were there. Another time we came into Buffalo, we were in an inclement weather situation, landing in Buffalo a few years ago. I think it was 2010. I'm not sure if I got the year right. But just after us, maybe 10 minutes after, a major plane crash right behind us after we had just landed under you know, tough weather situation. So we've been through this before, but this one hits a little close to home.
I would imagine it does. Dan Rusinowski joining us here. Have you spoken, Dan, with any of the players? This has got to shake you up, knowing that, you know, but for just dumb luck and timing of the whole thing, you could have been involved right in the middle of this almost.
Well, certainly close, very close to it at least, and we would have been in lockdown. I guess I talked to a couple people with the Vegas team over the course of the last 24 hours, and I guess that team was in a post-game meal that they were having together, which a lot of teams do, especially during the preseason, but definitely in the playoffs. And obviously they're building their team together, and that room basically got put on lockdown, and so they were definitely safe, but nobody was taking any chances, and pretty much everybody else was able to get out safely. So talking to Jamie Baker, who is our television color analyst, and he was actually in Las Vegas with some friends, and they were also very safe, very fortunate, because they weren't anywhere near really where everything was. But the word that I'm getting is that people were suddenly walking into, like, say, the MGM Grand Casino, and there were all these people with all these country outfits on that had been at the concert, and they looked like they were zombies. That's kind of the report that I'm getting. And when people asked what was going on, this one group said to the people I knew that they had, you know, just seen somebody right next to them get shot in the chest. And so that's a very sobering thought when you think about it. People are just coming to Vegas to have fun, and then this atrocity, it's not a tragedy in my mind, it's an atrocity, occurs.
Yeah, and look, there is no comfortable or professional way to change the subject other than saying thank you for taking us close to this situation, and we know that your heart and the team's heart is all in the right place.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, too. I mean, we're all fine. We're all very, very fortunate that things turned out the way they are. I mean, it's not a problem. Some of the Sharks guys I've talked to are just a little bit, for lack of a better word, freaked out that we were actually so close to this. But we're totally unaffected as far as that goes. It's just, we're still kind of watching it on TV ourselves and listening on the radio to it, but with a different viewpoint, perhaps, because we were pretty close to it.
Absolutely. And without any tasteful way to change the subject, let's change the subject if we could.
Thanks.
Dan, let me just ask you, are we going to see a Vegas Golden Knights team that struggles during its debut NHL season as much as maybe the Sharks did, or has starting a new hockey team been made a little bit easier?
Well, when you pay $500 million for an expansion fee, they give you a few extra players. That's the way I look at it. The Sharks didn't start out with Marc-Andre Fleury. He's going to be the goaltender in the face of that franchise, and a very important one, I might add, in the early going. And they've got a couple of other players that I think are pretty darn good. Now, let's not get too excited. They still are an expansion franchise, and I think that they're going to compete, but I don't think that they're slated to think that they're going to make the playoffs necessarily the first year, but they'll be better than the Sharks were back in 91 when $50 million was the expansion fee, one-tenth of the amount, I think, and I think we got one-tenth of the talent, too, with all due respect to all of those great people that were on that expansion team at the Cal Palace, but, I can tell you that when you do that, when you put together a team that's competitive, it's good for the game, and it's going to be good for the people that look like they're going to be enthusiastically supporting the team, which is not that dissimilar to what Sharks fans can remember back from the Cal Palace years, just an enthusiastic group of people, excited, almost like welcoming a new baby in the family. Everybody wants to come over and look at the baby and check it out, and if they don't know too much about hockey, they're going to examine the game, and I think they're going to fall in love with it. So the arena's nice. It's a good setup. It's 5 minutes from the airport. It's right on the strip. It's everything that's going on. So I think all of that is going to be good. But realistically, looking at competitive side of the team, I'd say you'd probably have to put them in with clubs like Vancouver, like Arizona, whom I think I think that team is a much better team than they were last year. They've done a good job and started restructuring it. But you put it with that group of clubs in the Pacific Division, which is sort of the lower echelon, not that far off. Competitive, definitely, but it's a pretty tough division with teams like Edmonton, San Jose, and Calgary, which is a better team now. Looks like they're getting Jaromir Jagr on their team, so the traveling Jagrs who are based in Calgary won't have to go very far with all their mullets, and that's going to be fun. And of course, also the Anaheim Ducks, which are the defending division champions and always a good team. So I haven't even mentioned the LA Kings; they're kind of in the middle, but I think that it's a pretty tough division.
The only voice of the Sharks, Dan Ruzanowski, over on K5. Fox 98.5, good enough to join us here on the Damon Bruce Show. So with the puck dropping in about 48 hours, you got the Flyers on Wednesday night. What is a realistic outlook for a Shark fan to have about this team heading into this season? You're 2 years removed from a Stanley Cup Finals appearance, 1 year removed from a first-round playoff exit. They brought a lot of guys back. Noticeably, Patrick Marleau isn't one, but if you like long-in-the-tooth veterans, you got them in San Jose.
Well, you got Joe Thornton, certainly. He's 38 years old, and I think it's one of the more remarkable stories, before we get into the meat of your question, Damon, that this guy, A, was able to play with a torn ACL and MCL in the Stanley Cup playoffs and actually do some effective things, not himself, of course, but still be able to do it, then undergo the surgery that's required, and then be ready for the start of the season, which he's going to be on Wednesday. I just am continuously marveling at this guy's story physically and his dedication off the ice. It shows how hard he works. It shows how much he loves the game. And of course, he's got that incredible hockey IQ and those sweet hands that solve a lot of problems when you're not moving quite as well. But he looks pretty good to me. And he's one of the veterans, obviously, they're going to count on. Now, having said that, the big elephant in the room is the one thing that you mentioned, that Patrick Marleau's 27 goals aren't here. And for the first time in two decades, he's not going to be with the team. But I think that because the team's AHL affiliate, number one, the San Jose Barracuda, made it all the way to the conference final of that league with the youngest team in the league in the playoffs. You've got a lot of guys that are chomping at the bit to earn some spots and to take some positions. And I think we've seen a very interesting training camp in that regard with, people like Marcus Sorensen with that great speed that he has. Timo Meier struggled a bit during training camp, I must be honest. So the jury's still out as to what he's going to contribute. But Kevin LeBanc, his Twitter account, Twitter handle, straight to the bank. He's been doing that in the preseason. He's a guy that's got a goal-scoring talent, and he's worked on his skating and he's worked on his conditioning, which were really needed in the offseason. So these are players that have had some success as pros, looking to take the next step. And of course, you've got other guys coming back from what I would consider subpar years last year. People like Jonas Donskoy, who had some injury problems. And
that's
really
our guy. We love Donskoy.
You got to love the guy. Game three of the Stanley Cup final, you know what he can do. He's got the sisu, as they like to say in Finland. But he's somebody that has to perform better, and he'll be the first one to tell you that he does. Mikkel Bodker is another guy that's been an enigmatic sort of addition to the team. All kinds of skills with skating and speed and skill, but he hasn't put it all together, and he needs to have a bigger year. And let's talk about Tomas Hertl. Is he going to be a center on this team, or is he going to be a wing in the top six? Still to be determined. They really like him to be at center ice, and I think that's part of it. He needs to have a breakout year. There's no doubt. We know that Logan Couture is healthy. We know that he's going to be just fine. We know that Thornton is healthy, and once he gets acclimated physically, he's going to be fine. But some of those questions are the things that have to be answered. And, of course, that seventh defenseman battle, the sixth and seventh, not exactly the most dramatic part of training camp, but another interesting factor as they figure out how to fill out that group of six behind the very strong group of defensemen they have in Vlasic and Braun and Martin and Burns, of course, the Norris Trophy winner. So all of that very interesting with the team, and it's, I think, a reason to be positive going into the season because we've seen a lot of improvement, we've seen a lot of ability and talent, and as I said, people pushing for jobs, that competition inside really makes a big difference.
Always good to talk to you, Dan. Puck drops and game on in less than 48 hours. Have a great season. Have a great call. We really appreciate you joining us to recap yesterday and getting out in time. I'm glad you're all safe and sound and at home with each other.
Yep, thankfully we're all fine, and we're looking forward to a great year, and I look forward to visiting with you quite a bit during the season, Damon. Thanks a lot.
Ruzanowski, Scar! Absolutely. Good to talk to him. Thanks very much for joining us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.